From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When I say the word government, what comes to mind? Well, of course, everyone's different, but I'd guess most people think first about the federal government. Congress and the president and the FBI and the CIA and the IRS. Maybe you also think about state government, the governor and general assembly and so forth. Then there's city government, the mayor and the police department and the public library. Often overlooked, but no less relevant to daily life, are county governments. Illinois is divided into 102 counties, all responsible for maintaining roads, prosecuting crimes, and ensuring public health, among other duties. Today we're revisiting my conversation with someone who is on the governing board of Will County, Illinois. Will is among the largest and most populous counties in the state. The 6th District of Will County includes much of the city of Joliet, and it is represented by Denise Winfrey. Winfrey is a Democrat and has been on the Will County Board since 2009, and last summer she also began a year-long term as the president of the National Association of Counties. The association, known as NACO, represents thousands of county governments and officials across the U.S. In fact, there was a NACO conference in February in Washington, D.C., where Winfrey got to make a big introduction.
So you know why I'm here today. I have the honor to introduce the President of the United States. And let me tell you. And if you think I'm excited, my parents, who are long gone, are flipping and kicking their heels up above because they are looking down and know that their little girl is here on the stage with the President of the United States. So I am excited.
An introduction worthy of excitement indeed. Listeners, because our conversation is on tape, we're not taking your calls, but you can always let us know what you thought by sending an email to talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. All right, here now is my conversation with Denise Winfrey. I want to begin by asking you what, from a national perspective, what is the most pressing issue facing county governments today?
Well, from the national level, county government issues are pretty much the same across the country. Obviously, mental health is a big issue for all of our counties and boroughs and parishes. The impact of the COVID-19 on counties has heightened the need for mental health support across the country. The other thing is housing, big issue nationally from different perspectives. Some it's about unhoused people, some it's about tourism and that impact on local resources. So housing is a big one across the country as well. And those two things are issues here in Will County also.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you. So Will County, it strikes me, it's interesting because it has urban areas and suburban areas and rural areas as well. It's really got all three of the major types of living arrangements people have in America. What are some of the problems unique to those, and I don't know if the term is exurban counties, you know, that have this combination of areas? I think Will is like that. There's also McLean County and Champaign and Sangamon County downstate all have some of those characteristics.
They do all. And one of the things that stands out is that when we're thinking about rules or laws or resolutions that we're putting into place, we have to remember that the county isn't all the same. Each of the areas needs something a little bit different. Some things generally are the same. Obviously, they need funding for roads, for bridges, tax levies, those kinds of things. But in a rural community, an important piece might be somewhat different than in a more urban area. For instance, in our farm counties out east, in the Crete, Park Forest South area, those areas out there, they're more concerned with people wanting to buy up the farmland. They want to keep agriculture as a part of our mix here in Will County, and it's a part of our Illinois mix as well, but want to preserve the farmland, be able to continue to grow crops, raise animals, that kind of thing. So things that infringe on that are more important to them or more pressing for them, I should say, than they are in, say, in Joliet, which is more urban. Joliet, on the other hand, being more urban, is more concerned about things that have to do with traffic jams, congestion, those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Full disclosure, I actually grew up in Crete Township in rural Will County. You've said that one of your priorities as president of NACO is economic mobility. And for people who may not be familiar with that, this is the idea of people who have lower incomes moving sort of up the ladder to have higher incomes. How do county governments play a role in raising people's economic status?
And they really play a big role. The presidential initiative is called RISE. Resiliency, inclusion, solvency, and empowerment, and the economic development or growth of those people who have less incomes is a part of that. And one of the things that happens is counties can play a big piece in helping to make sure that there are educational opportunities for those people on the lower part of the spectrum. And not saying that there aren't schools and things out there, but for those people who have less income, some support or help with being able to attend some of those two-year programs, whether it's electrical or mechanical, it's getting a nursing certificate or whatever it might be, some monies to fund those kinds of things is helpful for them. Some things that allow them to have childcare while they're trying to get that retraining is also helpful. Through our workforce services division, we do a lot of work around trying to get people whatever they might need, whether it's a GED, maybe it's retraining, maybe the job they had before is no longer available, and so they need some different training in order to qualify in the changing economy. So we want to, as a county, support the kinds of things that will help all of our community thrive and rise. With our ARPA funding, the American Relief Plan funding that the county got, one of the things we're looking at is how we can make sure that we have nurses and teachers in the pipeline to work here in Will County. So looking at ways we can put together consortiums of our 3-4-year institutions plus our junior college to help support those people who, many of them maybe couldn't afford tuitions. They may come from lower income households, but through that funding, be able to provide an avenue for them to go to school and then to be agreed to work here in the county for a stipulated period of time so that they get the education and the training. We get their work output. So that helps all of us in the county. That helps cover our shortage in those areas and helps them have a marketable credential to go forward. So that improves their standard of living, improves their ability to put money into the tax base here in the county through the revenues. They're spending money here, living here. They raise children here. So it's a cycle that works for everybody.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today we're revisiting my conversation with Denise Winfrey, who's the president of the National Association of Counties, or NACO. The organization represents thousands of county governments and officials across the U.S. Ms. Winfrey is also on the county board in Will County, Illinois. Because our conversation's on tape today, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought anytime, day or night, by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. You know, another area of responsibility for county governments is managing the jail. What are conditions like in the Will County Jail?
From the outside, I would say that they are probably akin to what they are across the country. And we've done a lot of work here in Will County to upgrade the jail system. Obviously, we want people not to be in there as much as possible. But for those people who do have to be in there, we want that to be a humane experience, and we want it to be clean and safe for them. We don't want them to regress as a result of their intervention with us, or interaction with us, I should say. So we have done things around staffing, around providing separate courts, as a matter of fact. And that's one of the pieces that is being done at a national level through the NACO Association, the introduction of drug courts, mental health courts across the country in those counties that are willing to do it. And we have that here in Will County. We also have Veterans Court. So very often people who, for whatever reason, don't have access to medicines or are unhoused end up in the court system because they will have some kind of violation that brings them in. And it may be that they don't really need to be there. So if they can be someplace else, for instance, in the mental health court, where they can get the treatment they need, that saves the county a great deal of money. And it also makes them more stable, provides for their well-being, and allows them to become potentially productive in the community, whether it's mental health courts, it's drug courts, it may be our veterans who, for whatever reason, are doing things because of a lack of access to medical health, to mental health support, those kinds of things. So looking to do the kinds of things that reduce the amount of jail population and increase the support for those people as members of our community.
In the time we have remaining, I want to ask you a little bit about your own personal journey into politics and government and through your life. I understand you were born in Carbondale, Illinois, raised in Joliet.
Right. Illinois, which is Jackson County, started there.
I was going to say, you know that Carbondale and far southern Illinois are significantly closer to Mississippi than they are to Chicago, and in more ways than one. And I read you would spend summers. Yeah, I read you would spend summers with your grandparents down there.
I spent summers with my grandparents, but I also started school there. So at the time that I was there, that was a segregated school system. So when we moved to Joliet, my family moved here. I was raised here, but I started there. So very familiar with segregated schools, overpopulation because of lack of funding in the segregated districts. As a matter of fact, my first classrooms were in the basement of a church that was across the school street, rather, from the school, because the school itself did not have enough room to accommodate everyone.
I understand when you were young, you helped your parents campaign for someone. Is that what set the spark for you becoming involved in government service later?
It had a significant impact on me. And when I was younger, my parents, where we lived, was in the unincorporated area. So it was under the jurisdiction of the county, but there were no blacks on the county board. So my parents campaigned to get the first black person on the Will County board. And my two brothers and I were in the backseat putting together leaflets. My parents were my father knocking the doors, my mother driving the cars. They handed out the information trying to get that to happen. That person was Angeline Due. I now serve in the seat that my parents worked to get on this board.
It certainly had
an impact on me over the years.
What made you decide to first run for county office back in 2009?
Well, actually, I was already on the township board, and I had retired from Commonwealth Edison. I have one daughter who I put through college. And so I thought the second half of my life could be devoted to service. It was my goal. And so this fit in with that. So my representative on the county board passed away, and I agreed to run for that spot. After I got here, I liked it. I got involved with the county and got involved with the National Association of Counties, got involved with those committees, and have been there ever since. As a matter of fact, my county service date and my National Association of County Service Dates are only 2 months apart, because a person who was on the county board when I came, who was also involved in NACO, said to me, you need to get involved. You need to be involved in this, 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 and this. And oh, by the way, we have paid our dues forever in NACO. You need to be a part of that. So I got involved that July and have been there ever since.
13 years later, you're the president. You know, and we're so used to, in this day and age even, still African-American women being firsts and onlys. But interestingly, you are not the first African-American woman to serve as president of NACO. That was Charlotte Williams back in 1977. And as I was thinking about that, it strikes me that was the decade of Shirley Chisholm's Unbought and Unbossed campaign for president and Barbara Jordan delivering the keynote at the DNC in 76. When you trace a line from then to now, what do you see?
What I see, and NACO is an organization that's 87 years old, and you mentioned Charlotte Williams. She was first, but from her till now, there have been no women of color leading that organization. I'm only the second one in 87 years. She was first. So there's still work to be done. There's a lot of opportunities for women, especially women of color, Blacks, Latinas, Asians, Native Americans, to move up into those roles. And young people, young women especially, need to see that there are people ahead of them in those positions so they can aspire to that and recognize that there is an opportunity there, that they can actually get there from where they are.
This is the last question, only about a minute remaining in our conversation. I imagine when you're at these NACO meetings, you're interacting with county officials who fit that sort of stereotype of good old boys from the South and maybe have very different political goals than you might. How does that work out in those interactions?
The one thing that's important to remember is NACO is a nonpartisan organization, first of all, and each and every person in the United States, that's why we're in the United States, has the right to their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own opinions. I don't have to agree with them, but I can work with them. And there is always a place of common ground, no matter who it is. You can find a spot where you can agree and can work together. And so I look for those in conversations and interactions, not only at the national level, but here at the county level. I look for opportunities to work with people rather than against them. And that has been helpful for me over the 14 years of my career here.
Denise Winfrey is a member of the Will County Board from District 6 in the Joliet area. She's also the president of the National Association of Counties. Ms. Winfrey, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to join you.
And that was my conversation with Will County Board member Denise Winfrey, who is serving a one-year term as president of the National Association of Counties. Coming up next, we'll listen back to my conversation with Jay Caspian Kang. His memoir, The Loneliest Americans, is about how Asian Americans fit into a country that has largely divided itself along a racial binary, black and white. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.